So, sadly, it is true. Hello? He's going. I'm talking about Frank Ferrante, a star of Cabaret Zazoo. Frank, is this true?
It is true, and thank you for playing my hero. If I'm going to go, I'm going to go out with the best. It is true. It is true. Sadly, it is true, but happily, the experience happened, and really grateful for the last 10 months and almost 250 shows and great audiences, tens of thousands that came since we opened last September. So it is true, and I'll leave, dragging. You don't have to drag me out here. I'll be screaming. And no, but it's been a hell of an experience, Steve.
Well, let's talk about what Cabaret Zazoo is and what we're talking about. Now, by the way, it runs through July 2nd, I believe, so there's still time to go to the Cambria Hotel, 32 West Randolph, to see the show. And tell me what this show is all about, and good luck with that, because this show has so much in it.
It's true, and that's kind of the tricky part of selling this show. Once audiences show up, once you're in there, you're sold, and it's just, you know, getting people to show up at that tent. It is probably the most spectacular show I've ever been involved with or I've ever witnessed myself. It is a variety show in that there are acts from all over the world. Contortion, aerial, acrobatic, singing, dancing, and yours truly doing improv comedy. All of it is umbrellaed under this vintage tent on the 14th and 15th floor of the Cambria Hotel in the Theater District. And I can say that, and still, what does that mean? It's exquisite looking. The aesthetic is stunning. There's also this five-person band, perhaps certainly the best musicians in the city, maybe the country, all assembled for this venture. And the decor, the bar is exquisite, and it's all linked together with this beautifully presented four-course meal. So it's a feast, it's a party, it's madness, it's wild, it's musical, it's unpredictable because of the ad-libbing and improv, and the caliber, it's all world-class performers.
Indeed, so, indeed that is true. Yeah, so Frank, here's a question I asked for you. Why do some people get addicted? For example, Jeff Hoover, legendary television producer over on the TV side of WGN, who produces the morning news and other things over there, he has gone, I think, to see the show 182 times or something. I mean, what is it about this show that once you go, you seem to be drawn to come back again, again, and yet again? Because Mr. Hoover here is not alone.
Right. Well, thanks for bringing that up, Steve. I think about it a lot, and I think it has to do with the fact that once you're in there, you're in a whole other world. You're escaping any problems, issues, sadnesses. You're completely transported, and it's a party. It's there's a great deal of joy. You're treated well from the moment you walk. You go up the elevator to the 14th floor and get off to see the tent and the lobby of the tent. And someone like Jeff, and we have, like, as you say, we have many others who do return. This week we're having people that have been there four or five times. And where else can you get this? I don't know where anywhere else in the country where you can find a show like this. Certainly, this is the only show like it in Chicago. I think he likes just getting lost, as I do when I see a show, in the wildness and the freedom and the awe of it. I tend to live in awe, Steve. A flower puts me in awe. A sunset puts me in awe. Really incredible art and shows like ours put me in a state of awe. And that's an addictive state to be in. And you get the great thing about the reason you can come back 20 times like Jeff has is because it's different every time. I do a different show every night. I mean, it might be a similar story, but every I bring up seven or eight people from the audience and play with them, and I don't know what's going to happen from moment to moment. The audience doesn't know. The band doesn't know. No one who works there knows. That's exciting.
Well, and, I want to talk about that. Yeah, so when there are people that don't like to go up on stage, and there are people that salivate to be a part of the show. How can you tell the difference, and can you tell the difference between those two?
I can, I think, for the most part, I have a pretty good success rate with that. If someone's uncomfortable and doesn't want to come up, I'm certainly not going to bring them up. But I am part of the show prior to it starts as this character I play, a bellhop character. So I'm kibitzing, I'm talking with the crowd and getting to know the audience. And the people that are having a good time and who are laughing and are open and going with the flow, I might pick that person. If someone seems a little more reticent, I certainly won't bring them up. It's not good for the show. So my batting average, as you may have seen, is pretty darn high in terms of picking people that want to be part of the party and be on stage. And as you say, some people salivate for it. Some people want to be in the spotlight. And this is a fun show for that. And other people just like watching people being put in the spotlight. So that's also part of the joy. There is a certain kind of fun surprise factor and tension that is part of the comedy. I don't know any other interactive comedy show like this. You've got Second City, but that's sketch comedy. That's different. Most comedy is presentational. You tell jokes or do bits. This really is immersive. But really, for me, I've done this type of show hundreds and hundreds of times, Steve, from Seattle to San Francisco to Chicago to Amsterdam. I even did these characters there. And you figure it out. You figure it out. The more you do, you hope the better you get. And my job is to observe people, and I'm an actor first and foremost, so I'm always observing everything and everyone around me. And so I think I've got a pretty finely honed sensitivity to the people.
In bringing hundreds of people up on stage, interesting things must have, over the course of over 200 performances, stuck in your mind. Give me one or two examples.
Well, the fun ones was like, I might pick someone who's 6'7" and very strong, muscular. I remember one of them, it just happened this week, a guy literally picked me up and started, carrying me. I proclaimed him as my son, and he grabs me into his arms, carries me like a child, and starts, spinning around the room. And the audience went absolutely nuts, because he could drop me at any given point. I could have wound up, I'm not an acrobat, I could have wound up at a front table. And I remember this happened once before. And of course, management went and said, we do have, there are insurance issues.
Exactly.
And they were concerned. Are you sure? You don't want to, is the guy's back going to go out? Is it going to drop me on my head? But yeah, you just kind of like, my gut was, I'm going to be fine. This guy's strong. We're going to take a chance. I'd rather get the laugh, the visual image of me, a middle-aged man, being lifted by some hulking guy is pretty darn funny. I've had everything. It's always funny when I always feel like the audience is funnier than any performer can possibly be. I pick my share of older females who will crack wise. And God, I remember one time doing the role, I picked a 104-year-old woman, and she was just so damn quick. And the best
hold on. You said 104?
It wasn't Paul Lisnick.
It could have been. So there was someone.
I knew you were going to go there. I thought I beat you to the punch.
You did. There was someone someone as old. Don't forgive. Someone as old as Mr. Lisnick. But I mean, that's incredible. And you see you see families at the show. It is called Cabaret. Yes, Cabaret Zazu, Zazou. Your standard spelling of that. You still have time to see it.
Of course.
It goes through July 2nd at the Cambria Hotel, 32 West Randolph. You are also known for one other thing. We'll talk about what that one other thing is when we come back on WGN. Happy Father's Day to all of you, including to Frank Ferrante. And I play Groucho Marx for a reason there, Frank. You are keeping Groucho Marx alive. And I would argue more than that, the Marx Brothers, but also that comedy from that era. First off, do you know the background of this particular tune? today is Father's Day, or something like that.
Yesterday, Father, is Father's Day, and we are giving you a tie.
Right.
Yes, yeah. I love that song. Well, Groucho sang it, I think it was written in the early 50s, by Harry Ruby, his dear friend who wrote Hooray for Captain Spaulding, the African Explorer, and countless others. And Harry Ruby was half of the team of Kalmar Ruby, who wrote a lot of great standards, like Who's Sorry Now, and I Want to Be Loved by You, I Want to Be Loved by You. They have this amazing song, you know, repertoire of songs. Harry, Ruby, and Groucho were best friends. And it was a parody of mother songs. You know, there were so many mom songs at the time, like Mammy and My Mother's Eyes and Ma, He's Making Eyes at Me. And that was the impetus for it. Harry Ruby was a clever, clever lyricist, and that's how it happened. And Groucho, it was a gift to Groucho, and Groucho sang it to the very end, and it cracks me up every time. And every Father's Day, on YouTube, you'll see it posted hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of times.
Absolutely. So you play Groucho Marx all over the country. You've done so in Chicago. And here is an official announcement. You are going to be back as Groucho not too far from now, too long from now. Tell me about it.
I'm going to return to Arlington Heights on January 13th, which I believe is a Saturday. January 13th at the Metropolis, which is, and Arlington Heights is the hometown of my brother and his family. And I can't wait. So that'll be the next Grouchoing. And I've played so many suburbs and Chicago itself over the last 25, 30 years. So I'm excited about that. So a lot of the Cabaret Zazu followers and aficionados can come see me then. And Groucho fans and comedy fans will hopefully come on out. But it should be a real joy. It's an intimate space in a great, great town, in a wonderful theater, and I get to Groucho away.
Well, other people have done Groucho over the years. You have a very unique take, and here's what I happen to know. You were so close with the family that you wound up being the executor of the estates for one of his daughters and his son. Is that correct?
That's right. Well, I was the trustee for his daughter, and had the medical directive on his son, and was a beneficiary of the Marx legacy. In terms of Groucho Marx Productions, I'm a 50% owner of that company, which represents the name and likeness of Groucho. And I was very close to them. They were family to me, Miriam Marx Allen and Arthur Marx. And I knew them from the time I was in my early 20s, Steve, and they knew I loved their father, and here I am, you know, almost 40 years later from when I first started doing the role and met them. And it's been a joy. I'm a lot of my year between September and April will be performing the Groucho role all over the country and in Canada. I'll be in Canada and Calgary September, October into November, 10 weeks doing 8 shows a week doing Groucho. I'll be in Philadelphia doing Groucho, A Life in Review, in which I play Groucho from age 15 to 85 at the historic Walnut Street Theater, where the Marx Brothers worked and hit it big. So I'm doing a lot of that, which makes me happy. And this is coming off the heels of the PBS special that's been airing nationally in over 80% of the country. So I appreciate you acknowledging it, because I love this kind of humor. I love his verbal humor. I love his wit. I love his physical comedy. I love his brashness, his irreverence, and the fact that there's still an audience for it, and that somehow I'm involved in perpetuating it gives me great satisfaction, Steve. Because you're a fan, so
I am.
Get it.
I am a fan of the Marx Brothers, of Groucho Marx, and that kind of comedy, and I'm a fan of what you do, because you don't only impersonate, you play reverence, is that the right word, to all of that.
I love that style. It's a very American immigrant style, kind of the brash outsider trying to find their way within the world in the most impudent way. And no one's better at Groucho than doing it as Groucho. And I loved, you know, I learned about improv through Groucho. I can do the Caesar and Teatro Zanzani or Forte at Cabaret Zazu because of Groucho's influence. And I love the fact that I get to make up stuff nightly. I get to create new material in the Cirque show, but certainly with an evening with Groucho where about a third of the show is improvised. And the audience, again, is surprised. They don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. And the more I do, I still get, I think I get better at it. I just did a few, couple of weeks. I took off from Chicago, from Zazu, and I was able to get back into the world with it. And it was such a joy. And this, you know, when I saw it, literally I had a, and you'll appreciate this, Steve, I'm looking at the front row and there are these three gentlemen, three generations. There was the father and the grandfather and the son. And I, it was heartening to see that this appeals to, from, you know, to all ages still. And I think it's a timeless style of comedy. And I love the rhythms of Groucho, and I love his sound. And there's no one better.
Well, there's no one better than you at all of this. We consider you a Chicagoan. At Cabaret Zazu through Sunday, July 2nd at the Cambria Theater. Before we go, as Groucho, can you just say goodbye? We must be going.
You got it. Thank you, Chicago, and thank you, Steve Dale. I'll stay a week or two. I'll stay the summer through. But I am telling you, I must be going. La la. Thank you, Chicago. I loved it.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank. There is no one like Frank Ferrante. And here's what I regret, that I don't have enough time on the radio. Maybe at some point I can do this. But I would love to have him right here talking, right in front of my face in the studio talking about all of the folks he's met. I mean, can you imagine going to the Friars Club and dining with Milton Berle? He's done that. Hanging out with Danny Thomas. He's done that. Meeting people like George Burns and having conversations with him at length about comedy. And also being in a position where he was so friendly. He met Groucho, but Groucho was much older at that point, and Frank was much younger. But as an adult, hung out and worked with both of his children, who incidentally trusted Frank Ferrante. I'll tell you a behind-the-scenes story. He was, I don't know if it's the executor of their estates officially, but some fancy word like that. And interestingly enough, two of those children, Groucho's children, didn't talk to one another, but they talked to Frank. And they each trusted Frank separately with their estates. He's an amazing and very gracious gentleman. And, oh, on stage, if there's a Groucho Marx today on stage, it kind of is him in many ways. So see Cabaret Zazu at the Cambria Theater downtown while you can.